Hi, this is Jessie Brittany and this is Uncommon.
Uncommon is a production by Narelle, a unique digital agency. Narelle specializes in content production in the areas that matter most to your content strategy across podcast production, video production, and social media. If you want to increase your conversion or grow your brand trust, head to narelle.com to request a callback. That's NERALLE.com.
My name is Jordan Michaelides and I'm the host of Uncommon, a show that asks the why on business, media, current affairs and sport. If you like this episode, do leave us a written review on your podcast app, particularly if you're on Apple Podcasts, as it does help the feed work out. If you like this sort of content, find all previous guests, just head to narelle.com/uncommon. For the full video, you can search Uncommon Show on YouTube. The social, you can keep up to date with behind the scenes at uncommon_show on Instagram. But with all that being said, let's get into the episode. My guest this week is Jessie Brittany, host of Stepford Wives, or Lockdown Wives as it's known at the moment, and certified lifestyle blogger as well. Thanks for your time. I know you made some little arrangements to get this one in last minute. I would have loved to have had you here in the studio, to be honest, but who fucking knows? You know?
Yeah, who knows? I think we're going to be here till 2022.
Yeah, it is mildly depressing, but
I know,
we won't dwell on it too long. How's the air fryer going? Is it getting a good run at the moment?
Oh, it's getting such a good run. It was a gift for me from my parents for Christmas. And I literally don't even use my oven anymore.
Really?
I never use my oven. It is all about the air fryer. I literally cook roasts in there, bacon and eggs, like everything. So, Okay. Yeah, it's getting a good... And the kids can use it.
So, yeah, it is kid-friendly. They can't burn themselves too badly like with an oven or a proper fryer.
Yes, exactly.
My partner's really gotten into... Like, I would say I'm the better cook. Just having that Mediterranean background, I feel helps a little.
Yeah.
And she's in the last 2 weeks really gotten into, like, we've had a pressure cooker for like 7 years, you know, to make rice or whatever. So she's paranoid. She's paranoid of it as well. And I remember when I was like a teen growing up, my mum was one of the first people to get a Thermomix. So she was trying to relate it to a Thermomix.
Thermomix.
And she's like every single meal in the last 2 weeks that she has cooked has been in that fucking pressure cooker.
Oh my God. So I'm terrified. I've never had one. My mum has one, but I'm so scared. I've heard so many horror stories of it exploding or.
Yes.
Oh, no, it just scares me. It scares me.
Now, speaking of mothers, you grew up in Noosa. What sort of apart from walking in on your parents having sex, what's sort of the earliest memory of your childhood?
Oh, God. Earliest memory of my childhood in Noosa?
Yeah.
Probably starting school in Noosa. So I was born in Melbourne and I lived in Eltham and did primary school in Eltham. But then I moved to Noosa for high school. And, you know, I come from a Catholic family and went to a Catholic school. And then I went up to Noosa in Queensland and it was a public school and, you know, it's a bit of a country town. And my first day of school in high school, I was at assembly and I remember seeing this young girl, she was about 14 or 15 and she was pregnant. And that was from my first memory of Noosa, like, because I was only in Noosa for about 3 or 4 days before I started school. So that, and I just remember being so shocked because she was probably about a year or two older than me.
14. And,
yeah, she meant 14 or 15 years old and she was pregnant, like exposed stomach and everything. I was like, wow, that was probably my biggest memory of Noosa, with my first week in Noosa.
Why did your parents move up to Noosa? Melbourne?
I think because we're originally going to move to Byron Bay and we did a bit of a test run on Byron and my family thought, no, it just wasn't suited for them. So they decided Noosa. I think it was because we didn't have a lot of money growing up and we never went on holidays or anything like that. So I think they wanted us to have a, you know, move to a place where we never, they never felt pressured to go on holidays and all that sort of stuff. So I think that kind of coastal change was something that my parents really wanted for us. They love the beach and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, and my dad said, you know, every time I said, "Oh, let's go on a holiday, Dad," Dad's like, "Why? We live in Noosa." So yeah. It's kind of his way
it
of
is a holiday.
It's always a holiday. So obviously, never went on holidays.
What are they? Do they still live up there in Noosa now?
Yeah. So my dad still lives up there. My parents separated about 6 years ago. So my dad still lives up in Noosa. My brother still lives there. He's in the army. And my mum moved back down here when I fell pregnant with my daughter.
Okay.
And my daughter River. And so, yeah, she just never went back. So she's in Melbourne now, but my dad's in Noosa.
Yeah. It's interesting how, like, I've noticed this recently. So my in-laws are obsessed with Noosa, like selling all their stuff. They live on the peninsula at the moment, having I guess you could say semi-retired.
Yeah.
And they sold their house in Brighton and they moved down there and they've got like a little Airbnb. And
yeah.
Now that, you know, no one can travel, they've got really nothing going on there. They're so committed to the idea of moving up permanently to Noosa. And then my parents are like, which is very unusual. Like my dad's family's Greek, very hardworking. They love Melbourne. They love the cold.
My dad
wants to move to Byron Bay. He's just been saying that in the last week. Yeah. Ever since the lockdown, that's been like his go-to thing. Yeah.
Well, Byron Bay still, because I spent a lot of time in Byron Bay, it's something like a 3-hour drive from Noosa. So a lot of my teenage years was weekends in Byron Bay because Noosa's nightlife wasn't really that good, but Byron had a little bit more going on. Mm. So I spent a lot of time in Byron, and Byron is great for Melburnians because it still gets so cold.
Yeah,
like
it does.
It's so cold. It's amazing. It's only 3 hours, you know, south of Noosa, but it gets so cold in Byron and so hot in Noosa. So yeah, no, Byron's cool. Byron's really cool. But speaking of, like, I've literally said to my husband this week, I'm moving back to Noosa. If this lockdown is not over in the next 3 weeks, I will do the 2 weeks in Darwin quarantine with the three kids and I will move to Noosa.
Wow.
I'm done. I'm borderline, like, over it.
There has been a very big exodus, I've noticed. Like, a lot of people, I don't know if you've noticed this, a lot of people who have friends or you have friends who are originally from Queensland and they've opted, instead of sticking around for another few years, maybe finding a partner here, they're just going back.
They are. And even people I know that are born and bred Melbourne people are all moving. Like,
really?
Especially like people in journalism and stuff, they can't travel between the states because of, you know, the borders are blocked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they actually have to move to be able to, you know, report and do their work. So a lot of people I know are starting to move up north. So smart idea, I reckon.
Yeah, I would say so. You mentioned before about your parents. Is there any like particular lessons or principles that you hold today that you learnt from them at all?
From parents?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think always have respect for my elders. Like always, like that was a huge lesson. I think being obviously in, you know, being a Catholic as well, it was all about, you know, anyone that's even a year older than you. Like I still call, you know, people sir and missus. Like I don't actually go by their names, and they're all, like, even my children's school teachers, I never call them by their first name. So, and always like my pleases and thank yous, like they were very instilled in us as children, you know, manners and respect. So, yeah, I think they were just probably, I've definitely learned a lot from that.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got far with that as well, you know.
But it sort of sounds like there's always been a level of, not conscientiousness, but like it's like being a little bit agreeable in some way in conversation, like being, because there's nothing worse than having kids that other people hate, you know what I mean? So being those well-mannered kids is always like a very valuable trait because people just will always like you. You were speaking before about high school. So in terms of some of the dirt, one of the girls told us about this Brisbane tourism ad at 15. Then there was like an episode or two on Mortified, which I remember. I remember that TV show. And I found like some old clips and seeing where, not of you, but of the show, because it's one of those obscure ABC shows, right?
No, it was on Channel 9.
Oh, yes, it was.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure it got moved. It's now, if you watch it online, it's on, like on YouTube, it's on ABC, which is really interesting. So they must have bought it or something like that. But I remember watching that show.
How old are you?
I'm the same age, 30.
30. Yeah. Oh, you're a 1990s baby.
Yep, pretty much. May 90.
I have to. It's August 90. So how was your 30th?
It was boring. I mean, look, I shouldn't say that. My partner will be like, what the fuck are you talking about? But
I made it so special for you.
Look, it's really hard when you're locked down. I mean, we got, we did a special meal. We got dressed up. I think for mine, we did Attica, and hers was just last month, like literally a week or so ago. And we ate at Minamishima, which is sort of a really, really hard to get into Japanese restaurant. Like you got to book in 6 months ahead. So it's actually quite useful that, you know, this is all happening because you're actually just able to get the menu as much as you want.
It's so good.
And she loves ice cream cake. And so we got an ice cream cake from Messina as well.
Oh, nice. Oh, I just can't believe all of us are turning 90.
I know. 30, 90, so what did you get up to?
I really didn't want to celebrate it. I felt like I was in a really dark place probably 2 weeks leading up to my 30th. I just felt like turning 30 for me was like, I really have to grow up now.
What are you talking about? You got three kids.
I know, but it's like, I know. And I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, like 2 weeks leading up to my 30th, I'm going, I haven't done anything. What have I done in my life? Like I think, and then it was really interesting because then on my 30th, Val, my husband, did a video, what's happened over the last, 30 years. And he got all my friends to, do birthday messages and just memories and all that sort of stuff. And by the end of it, I was like, oh, wow, I have done a lot.
Yeah.
Like, the countries I went to, the kids, businesses and all that. But I just felt like I did think I was going to be Beyonce or Kylie Minogue by the age of 23. So when I got to I was Googling when did Kylie Minogue come out with Can't Get You Out of My Head? And I think she was 31. So I was like, okay, I've got one more year to,
You know the trap there, you've fallen into comparing. This is the thing that I've learned in the last few years is always compare yourself to you last year, last month, et cetera, rather than, XYZ person, because that is a guaranteed way to become instantly depressed.
Well, that was the thing. I was comparing myself to Beyonce. I'm like, Beyonce, she was doing this at 30. And Val's like, you can't even sing. So why did you even think you were going to be Beyonce or Kylie Minogue? I'm like, I don't know.
See, I was doing your research, I was like, shit, she's 30. She's already got three kids. What the fuck am I doing with myself? We don't have any kids yet.
So you're smart.
Yeah.
Because I kind of did a bit backwards because I think, being from Noosa, it's that kind of, everyone has kids really young.
Yeah,
there.
True.
So, but then I came to Melbourne. I was literally the only person that was, 21 with a child and married. Yeah. So, I kind of did it back the front, tried to start a trend.
It would be harder here. I can imagine that. In Melbourne, it's all, I mean, this is why I'm so fascinated by, as we called it before, mummy bloggers or lifestyle bloggers in particular. I was just speaking to my mum about this probably, I don't know, a week or so ago. And we're just talking about, this is what I wrote. Like I find it really fascinating in society. You've either got, like as a woman, you've got to have a career, and then you've got to, like before you're 30, you've got to have like the amount of kids sorted or at least a partner sorted to have kids with. And have all these things sort of because there is a biological clock there. But then also you've got like society saying that your because this is what my mum said to me. Like, so her and dad ran their business together. It was very tough in the early days, and they did really well later on in life. But she also had to raise the kids and work, you know, your 3 or 4 days in the business, basically in charge of finances. Because she's the smart one. My dad's the the knuckle dragging ape that can just go talk nonstop to people.
He's the seller.
But she just found it interesting that, you know, and it's really hard because there is no how do you place a monetary value on raising a kid when there's that much upside? But you can't.
There's so much. No, there you literally can't. Well, what does Beyonce say? You know, bear the children and get back to business. You know, that's what we do. That's especially in this day, you know, where I think there's just there's a lot more expectation on, you know, us working, being, you know, being a mum, and as you said, like trying to do it all before a certain age.
Mm.
But it's and I think that's kind of where I was, you know, in that dark place, because it's kind of like it's not where I wasn't where I wanted to be career-wise before I was 30.
Yeah.
But now I'm kind of like, you know what? It is what it is. And I'm starting to finally, I think it's because I didn't really know what I wanted to be or what I wanted to do. Mm. And I've only just started now to figure out like my strong points. And that is, you know, get back into acting. That's kind of where I want to go from now, like from here on now, like is kind of get back into what I used to love doing. Mm. But I think I was just kind of lost for a while because, you know, I was just a mum, you know, and trying to make sure the kids were healthy mentally, physically, you know, be the best wife and, you know, just all those things. So I think I've just for the last 10 years haven't really focused on myself. Yeah. It's just, you know, loving myself, you know, fourth on that list.
Yeah, because you have to be quite selfless. But also, like I was thinking about it, at the end of the day, like, and this is why I don't understand why the idea of the mummy lifestyle blogger gets poo-pooed by people is like you are an entertainer. Like you're giving a lot of women who are underserved something that they can use as escapism or a circuit breaker. Like I noticed with a lot of your, one thing you do really well is you integrate comedy really well into what you do, like whether it's the TikToks or the memes. Like what was one of the ones I wrote down? It was what's better? It was like shopping without kids or having sex. It was something like that.
Oh, shopping kids, without kids.
And
is definitely the best on that
list. And so like it just had me thinking like there are so many women that it would be invaluable for.
Mm. Oh yeah, for sure. No, I think the whole like, and I think a lot of Instagram girls or mummy bloggers that have really started to go online and show their life. It's just kind of an outlet, you know, because you are at home all the time.
Yeah,
and, you know, it's just like Groundhog Day. So I think that creative outlet was something that that's the reason what attracted, you know, to me putting my, you know, my Instagram from private to public, which I did that about 2 years ago, and just kind of see where it went. So I was like, I'm bored. What do I want to be? What do I want to do? I might just turn it on public and see what happens. Cause I did see this like shift in everyone and people that I was talking to that in that mummy blog world were saying, it's just like a creative outlet that you kind of can tell a story. It's your own story. Kind of like a reality TV show, I guess.
It is. I mean, like I grew up, down the road from she's now known as Sophie Pierce, but Sophie Sturrock. She's known as Sophie Pierce now, obviously marrying Nick, and she's another large, I guess you could call it lifestyle blogger. She's probably one of the only ones that has a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Really?
So, but I feel like she's only really started focusing on it in the last 18 months. Like yourself, probably. There was definitely a shift, I reckon, about 2-3 years ago. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was an element of, well, maybe it was a change in the feed on Instagram being more focused on individuals as opposed to businesses, and therefore something like what the two of you were doing is really elevated in the platform, the algorithm, because It's relatable. Mm. It's personal.
What I think the other thing is as well, in the last 2 years, you know, there were so many influencers, and there still is so many great influencers and stuff. But then, you know, a lot of businesses now, from what I'm gathering, they want to work with someone that's just not just an influencer, that they've got some sort of background, if that's education, or they've got something else that's just not showing photos on Instagram.
Yes.
You know, I think, you know, that kind of thing, because everyone can show photos on Instagram about their life and all that sort of stuff. But I think right now the companies are looking for more. They want not just an influencer in photos, but just something that's, you know, educational, or that's education or a business or something that kind of is starting to come together, I've noticed the last couple of years.
What's the remix together with mother lifestyle that makes this person unique?
Yeah, unique and stand out.
Have you thought about that for yourself? What is that?
I have, because obviously being with Prue from One Day Dream, we're really I'm in transition at the moment. It's kind of like figuring out what that extra thing is. Mm. You know, obviously having the podcast was that little bit of extra thing. So it's not, I'm just not a mommy blogger. We're still trying to figure that out. Like, what is that thing that makes me kind of stand out?
Because I notice on one thing your podcast has is it uses a lot of, it's very hard now that you're in lockdown, but the initial episodes before lockdown integrated some sort of specialist.
Yes. Yeah. I think because I felt like, you know, in the podcast world, there was a lot of conversations, but there was no kind of
insight.
Like a lot of, insight on, you know, those topics and stuff. It was just kind of like she says, we say kind of thing. It was just like a conversation. And I think what I wanted to bring with our podcast was having a specialist that we could kind of bounce off, but then also ask the nitty gritty questions and actually have proper information about the topic. You know, that's, you know, having a sex therapist or having a behavior therapist on children, having swingers, you know, come on and talk about, you know, open marriages and swingers and stuff. It's just like having that bit of extra on, you know, having people come back for more.
Do you think that's like a natural part of your personality? Like, do you find yourself to be an open and creative person? Like, if you find out about a topic, will you immediately be on your phone researching it?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. My Google history is ridiculous. Like, I reckon I'm a doctor. Like, I will diagnose everything. You know, even now, like, I've never been in politics at all. Now I'm researching all day. Like, I think that's why I've been so quiet on social media the last couple of weeks. I'm just like diving into politics. Like, anything politics is my thing at the moment. So yeah, I love researching. So I think that's, and I think I'm very open on opinions as well. I'm not a person that like, this is my opinion, I'll shut your opinion down. Like, I'm very open and I'm not judgmental at all.
Yeah, so I think there's something to that, because, you know, if you look at other people in this space, I feel like they have set views on certain topics, and that maybe that is your superpower, is that you don't necessarily have one.
No,
you're
just
there for the insight.
Yeah, and I love, you know, learning about things, and, you know, I love people's opinions, and I'm very open to that stuff. So, yeah, I guess that is a kind of a superpower, because there's no judgment. No judgment at all.
Yeah, I think you'd have to be, because if you're, like I said, a lot of your stuff has that element of comedy, and I think inherently you have to be that type of person if anything is funny, because funny is funny.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, there's no political correctness with comedy. It's very hard to be in that sphere, having interviewed a lot of people in that space, and be politically correct. Anything just has to be open to you as an individual. You can't have any political bias or any opinion bias or anything like that.
No, and I think the reason I've put comedy through my Instagram is if I am going to view a point, if I do it in a you know, a comic way, like in a funny way. I think I'm so scared of being trolled. I'm so scared to have, and I never have been. Like I'm one of the very lucky ones that I've never ever really been trolled at all. So I think making my Instagram a little bit funny, it's kind of hard for the trolls to say anything.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's probably why I started the whole kind of sort of filtering the comedy stuff through my Instagram. Yeah. And it's worked, which is good. Even when I've like, you know, spoken about Dan Andrews and my political view on it all, I've said it in a way that it's kind of funny.
Relatable.
And relatable, but even if people are pro-Dan or not pro-Dan, they both have been so nice and okay about it all, because I've said it in a nice way, in a funny way, I guess. So
you mentioned before about trolls, because that's one thing I found interesting, because I find your TikTok very funny. And I was fascinated as to, like, why – I said this to Prue, why doesn't she have comments enabled? So maybe it's that. Are you worried about people saying things?
Yeah, I think on TikTok, because it's such a it's such a huge platform, and you don't necessarily, you know, and it's on the For You page, you know, everyone can see it from all walks of life, like all over the world. So you're more likely to get trolled on that. And I found that out pretty quickly when I signed up onto TikTok.
Right.
That, you know, the biggest, you know, because I did a bit of research before I went on, and they said, it's a really easy place to be trolled and stuff. And obviously I think being trolled would, you know, I've had like maybe one nasty comment since I've, you know, been public on Instagram, and I remember that really affecting me. So
really?
I just don't, I'm always, I like to be liked, you know, I hate to be hated, but don't we all? But I think that was one of the things. So I did take the comments off for that reason, because obviously if it affects me that much on the one comment that I've ever had, which wasn't even that bad, it goes into my home life.
Yeah. And then you start to take it out on other people.
Yeah. And the kids will see me upset. So I have to be really, So that is why I've taken comments off. But I should probably open up the comments. But there is a lot of trolling on TikTok.
I mean, you should do what you're comfortable with. I remember having this conversation with Steph Claire Smith, and she, I think one day, like for a while, the comments really affected her. And because obviously based on the type of content she posts, she gets a lot of guys, and guys make specific comments, and it would frustrate her. But then one day she just decided, you know what, like, I don't give a shit anymore. I'll just delete it and move on. I don't care. But if, and that works for her. So it's sort of what
but
works for you.
I think now, like turning 30, like I have seen a shift where I'm like, you know, and being in lockdown, I know what's important now. So I am starting to do the whole like, oh, you know, I don't give a crap if you like me or not. Like I'm starting to move that way. Mm. I think when you're in your 20s and stuff, like as you know, like you're still growing, you're still insecure. Like I know for me, like I still was trying to find my feet. And now that you hit 30, it's like this huge shift changes and you're like, oh, fuck it. I don't give a shit anymore. I have seen a change like in my way of thinking, like, so it probably will in the next, you know, next year, I'll probably be like, oh, I don't give a shit anymore. Mm. Like, especially when I, you know, have had a political view about what's happening in Victoria, I was kind of like, and I knew writing that I could get some backlash of people, but I didn't, thank God. But if I did, I knew I was writing that and I was like, you know what, I'm okay with it. This is who I am. If you don't like it, then don't follow me. So I'm starting to, it's definitely starting to change that view. So yeah, maybe I might open the comments on TikTok.
Well, the next 12 months, I think it'd be interesting. That was one of the points I had, is what is brand Jesse Brittany and where does it go today? And it sort of sounds like you and Prue, and that, I think she said that to me, the next stage of your career will be very interesting. Because you're in that stage now of working out where it is. So I'm intrigued to see a year from now what's changed.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I think it right now it's like I kind of know where I want to end up. So it's just trying to figure out how to do that. You know, like I love to get back into acting again. So, you know, obviously when lockdown's over, like, you know, going back, you know, getting a coach and a mentor and kind of starting that
process.
Going down that way. Again. Yeah. Yeah. Starting that process again. Cause you know, I just love doing it as a teenager. Yeah. But yeah, so yeah. So we'll see.
That was one thing I had about content, because obviously there's a few mediums that you cover. So you've got Instagram and podcasting, and we'll get into the podcast in a moment. What have you thought about that? Is there, like, do you feel like there's a particular medium that you work best on? Is it video? Is it image copy-based posting? And have you noticed any particular, like, I would imagine on video you get more engagement, right?
Yeah, so much more engagement. When I'm, you know, and I think the other thing, you know, with Instagram, I've never, like, I have so many companies used to, you know, coming forward and saying, hey, can you work with me and stuff like that. And I've always been very, even if I loved the brand, I was very conscious, because I felt like if I worked with a brand, because I know brands on Instagram don't, you don't get a lot of likes anymore. And, you know, when you, so that's the stuff. So videos for me is more, I get a lot of interaction with that, with my followers. They love my videos probably more than my posts. I think because I am just, you know, who I kind of show more of my personality in videos, which is what people love, like followers love, with, you know, on who they're following.
Yeah. And I think culling those brands you work with, I don't think I realized how much of a job that was until we just, we recently took on, we've done some talent management, but just with one creator at the moment. She's quite big on TikTok. She has like 3 million followers. And so you get a lot of shit that just comes through.
Yeah.
Just a lot of crap.
A lot of ads. Yeah. A lot of ads. And that I'm, you know, I love working with some brands, and I'm starting to work with brands that I love. So I've got to be open to that now. But yeah, I do find that the videos have more traction than the Instagram posts and stuff. And it is, it's a lot of hard work, you know, the contracts and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So you want to be happy with the company, and you want to be loyal to your followers as well, because, you know, they know straight away.
Yeah, they can tell.
They can tell. Like, you know, someone that promotes 12 foundations in a week. It's like, so which foundation do you actually use?
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, like those sort of, especially with skincare, I reckon it's a bit, it's hard. Yeah.
I mean, like, I think you're right. I think people can tell a lot of your stuff. When I've looked through the promoted stuff, it is obviously on brand, because again, there's like in a lot of these ads, like a bit of comedic injection into it. Like I noticed with the Karcher ad, you'd put on the, was it like the mop related end, like on your feet? Or am I?
Yeah.
I want to be careful. They're not actually slippers, but.
Slimmers. No, it's, I think, when you're working with a brand, it is bringing that comment. It actually makes, you know, your followers read the actual, the brand as well, when you put a bit of like a background story on why you're using it. And, you know, obviously having that humor in there kind of grabs them as well. Hopefully they like it, you know. But yeah, I do think my videos are more, especially my TikToks. If I put my TikToks on Instagram, I get a lot of traction with that as well. Yeah, a lot of traction. And I always will gain so many more followers, because obviously the followers from TikTok that see it will come on to your Instagram page, because it's all linked. So yeah, so TikTok's becoming quite powerful.
Very powerful.
That's if, you know, we don't ban it in Australia like the Americans have.
I think we'll be fine here. We speak to the TikTok team like probably once or twice a fortnight, and they've made some really crazy hires, like former Google and Facebook people in Australia. So I think they're going to do pretty well. I'm pretty certain it's going to be the next platform now.
Oh, for sure.
The podcast, I think I looked back and it started October 2019. I was saying before, I think only you and Sophie really are some of the few that have a podcast. And I think it definitely adds another dimension to the idea of lifestyle blogging, because you get a sense of the person. And people already like you and your personality from social media, but they're getting a better sense in a longer form conversation as to who you are in that format.
Yeah.
Why Stepford Wives?
Why Stepford Wives? I think, so my husband, he's comes from a very, he's Middle Eastern. So I think for me, like Stepford, and same with my girlfriend, like that I do the podcast with, like I'm anything but a Stepford wife. Like I hate cooking, I hate cleaning. Like I just, you know, the things that a wife probably should do, it's like my most hate. I do it, but I don't enjoy it. And I always do it looking like, you know, I never look like this. Like 99.9% of the time I've got my hair in a messy bun, no makeup on. Like I just look like a train wreck. So I think for me it's like Stepford Wives kind of came about it's because we're anything but.
Yeah,
because we're anything but Stepford. We work, you know, we all hate cleaning and cooking. Mm. So I think that's kind of where the name came from. And then I always wanted to do a podcast. I think it was the reason we started the podcast, well, for me in particular, was, you know, obviously I wanted to get back into television again and I really wanted just how to bounce back with conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, I did it as kind of a training platform for myself, you know, just how to keep the conversation going because I was kind of like, you know, being a mum for so long, you kind of lose those social skills.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're speaking to children and particularly if you're in lockdown, you've gotten sick of Zoom. You know, you started October. It feels like a lifetime ago, but it isn't actually that long ago. It's only a year ago.
I know. It feels like 3 years ago. So I think, yes, the whole reason we started Stepford Wives was, you know, kind of see where, podcasts were becoming quite big. And, you know, it was just another platform where people could see our personalities and what we're like. And we're not just Instagram mummy bloggers. There's a little bit more to us. But also I started it for like more of a training thing, like, you know, bouncing conversations between, you know, one another, but also, you know, getting that information that people, you know, that I'm in, you know, that we're both, you know, we want to know. What's the word? Like information.
It goes back to what you said earlier. Like you're looking for some sort of insight.
Yeah. Yeah. And like educating ourselves and having these people on because, you know, you can read so much and so many different points of view and stuff, but having that conversation, asking those questions instead of writing them in Google. So I think it was really important for us on our Instagram platforms to say like, you know, what do you want? We're having a sex therapist on. You know, what are the questions you want to ask? So, and a lot of them were the same questions. Mm. You know, how to spice up your sex life after children or being married for, you know, 10 years. So those things were, and they're things that I want to know. So, yeah, so I think it was like, you know, letting our audience kind of dictate, well, not dictate, but like, you know, let our audience kind of ask the questions and then obviously have our own questions for the people that are in that industry. So yeah, so it was just having that platform there because I feel that that was kind of a gap that wasn't in the podcast world. And if it was, I didn't know about it.
Yeah, I think there was a gap there. I guess I was curious. What do you think it's taught you and Emma about parenthood and life in general?
Oh, what has it taught us?
Do you find there's like because I've had this a few times where I've had interviews and I've come out of them and it's completely changed my perspective on things. Did you have any of that?
Yeah. Child behavior, like, you know, just how to discipline a child.
Right.
That really was a big eye opening going, oh God, I am the worst parent ever and I'm doing everything wrong. Like I'm surprised child services ain't at my door. that was a really big eye opener. But then also we did a podcast recently about the birds and the bees, like how to educate your children and when to tell them about, you know, that stuff. And I had to really research that and, you know, and it's something that I just didn't even think of because I've got such young children. So I came from that podcast going, oh, whoa, I've told my kids the wrong things. Like I haven't told them anything. So, you know, I had to really backtrack. And straight after we just recorded our podcast, I sat down with my 8-year-old and had to talk about the birds and the bees, which was a very uncomfortable conversation. But, and you know what she said to me? Mom, I already know.
Really?
I already know. Yep, she already knew. Whoa. I was like, blow head emoji. Like, how do you know this? Oh, you know, my friends have got older brothers and sisters and, you know, she kind of put it together in a way. She, yeah.
Do you think does she know Santa's you know?
No, she doesn't know that yet.
Really?
But I don't think – I'm too scared to have that conversation because it would crush my – it would just crush me if she didn't think that, that Sona wasn't real. Like, it would crush me. So
that's an interesting talking point because, you know, I said my partner and I, we were meant to be getting married in about – what's the date now? Like 17 days.
Oh, yeah. Really? I had to look at your diary.
Yeah, well, we had to –
17 days.
Yeah, we had to bump it from October down at the old Port Phillip estate on the peninsula. And so now it's moved to April. We've got a bunch of things that we're trying to fit in within that year. So buy a place.
Have a baby.
Yeah, all that stuff. We do really want to get overseas before having a kid just one last time, like a proper trip on our own.
Because I
know that we've gone to Japan a lot for both work and holidays, and that'd probably be like the first place we take a kid because we know people there. It would be an easier holiday.
Fun.
Yeah, Japan's very kid friendly.
We went there last year.
Yeah, we're obsessed. We've been like once a year for the last 3 years for various like reasons.
Wow.
So,
cool.
Yeah, actually, October last year, we were there because of the fucking... We were there during the typhoon. Like, they had a typhoon.
Gosh.
It seems crazy. Typhoon, bushfires now. COVID. What a year it's been. But the point is, we've got all these things going on. I know Prue says you're the queen of hacks. Lauren and I are really obsessed at the moment with, what's her name? Valeria Lipinski, another sort of lifestyle... Ooh. Blogger,
yeah.
Her and her husband really integrate the family blog into their day-to-day life pretty well, which is very interesting. So I guess from your perspective, what in hindsight do you wish that you knew?
That's a hard, in parenting?
Yeah, for parenting, raising kids, things that, because, you know, we've asked people recently and they said they wish that they'd gotten like more sleep-ins, right?
Oh,
but
yes. No,
we've actually come to the realization that what we really need to do is get better at our wake-up time because we used to wake up late and so now we're going to bed earlier, waking up earlier, et cetera, because you're going to be having those issues when you have kids anyway.
Kids, unless you have my kids.
Yeah, unless they sleep in.
My kids sleep in. I think for me, I wish that my husband and I had more time together, just him and I, and traveled together, just him and I, because we got together and pretty soon after we met, we, you know, got married, had babies, all that sort of stuff. So we've only ever been to Cambodia together, just him and I.
Right.
We went there for a month. And did some charity work there. So that was, and I got pregnant there. So, and we'd only been together for like 4 months. So for me, I don't know the difference between traveling with your partner than having kids. Like I've only ever traveled with the kids. So I don't know any difference. So when someone's like, I can't believe you travel with your kids everywhere. And I'm like, that's all I know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is there an easier way? Cause I don't know that way. So I think for me was getting that travel in, like that. I wish I knew that, or I wish I went and did, you know, straight after school, all my girlfriends, they all went and did a gap year and traveled Europe. And I decided not to do that. I decided to study. So I wish I did that now. Cause I'm like, oh, cause I got pregnant straight after my studies. So, so yeah, I think traveling, if you can get a travel in before you, you know, have babies and all that sort of stuff, it's definitely wise, but hopefully Australia opens up to the world.
What do you think it is with that? Because a lot of people say the same thing. Is it the, you know, because it's already stressful traveling. Do you think it's that the stress and anxiety is ratcheted up because you've got, as well as trying to get to a place, three other mouths, ears and eyes that are completely dependent on you?
Yeah, and like when you're about to get on a boat that's about to leave and one of them's like, I need to go to the toilet and they can't hold on. Like it's, you know. Well, as I said, I don't know any different. So I don't know the difference between just me traveling and me and my husband traveling to just having kids. So I'm always lived in chaos. Like if you know me personally, I'm the most unorganized person in the world. So I've been in chaos for 30 years. Okay. So chaos is what gets me off. So I'm constantly on adrenaline. So, and it makes the trip more fun, obviously, having kids, because you can go back and go, oh my God, do you remember when we were in South Africa and we were at the top of Table Mountain, and which is the biggest mountain ever, like you should see this thing. And I think to get down the mountain, it was like the line was a 3 or 4 hour wait. And then even at the thing, if they stop the cable, you can't get back down. And the only way to get back down Table Mountain is to climb down it. So this is last year. I'm at the top of Table Mountain in South Africa with three children, which were 4, 1, and how old was we? About 7. And we're at the top of Table Mountain and we're like, we're going to miss this cable down. We're going to have to climb down it. We're in thongs.
Oh, my God.
It took us 5 hours to climb down the mountain. And it's literally my one-year-old refused to be carried. So he climbed down the whole entire mountain by himself. He did 1 year old, 1.5 years old. He climbed down that whole entire mountain by himself. No carrying. That was climbing down cliffs, like, so on. So we look back now and go, and when we tell the locals, like in our family, what we did that live in South Africa, they're going, are you crazy? Like, no one does that. Like, no one takes children down Table Mountain or up Table Mountain unless it's on the cable. So like those memories are really cool because it was chaotic. It was crazy.
It's a story.
But it's a story. So, you know, and of course the Roberts did that because that's just what we do. Like, my husband's so adventurous. Like, he has to do everything. Like, if he's bungee, there's nothing he's not done. There is absolutely nothing he's not done. So I think he's instilled that in me as well. And he lives in absolute chaos. He's organized at work, but when it comes to traveling, we don't pre-book rooms. We just go with it. So it's like we get to a place and go, oh, where are we going to stay tonight? With three kids. God. So nothing's organized.
It sounds like I can feel my partner freaking out already, because we're both like really conscientious. So we have to,
I've got
a spreadsheet, you know, this.
Oh, you've got
no,
that?
Like, I don't we don't overplan it, but we know we have to have a thing booked in.
Oh, you're good. See, we're the type of family that will get to the airport and go, when's the next flight? Let's go there. Like, we're that family.
That would freak me the fuck out. when it comes to parenting itself, what are your general principles? Like, I know that when I was growing up, my parents were always like in tune with each other. You know, you could go to one parent and say one thing and try and get the response you wanted out of them, and they'd say, go ask your mother or go ask your father, and they'd have the exact same response. So they were obviously clued in terms of like, here's like the general rule of thumb. Is there anything that you and your husband have discussed in that regard?
Oh, no, because I will say one thing and he says another. So that it's just like, oh, so where's the middle ground? What is it? I think he knows. Like, I think with Val and I, when it comes to parenting, he knows and I've had enough, and he can just see it. Like, he can walk in the door at night and he'll just, I can be happy and everything, but he can feel it and he'll go, okay, kids, leave your mother alone. Like, that stuff's, like, that's kind of the general thumb with us. Like, he kind of knows. He definitely knows my moods. He definitely can read me like a book in terms of that. But when it comes to, like, what your parents used to do.
No chance.
We're not on common ground with that. No chance. There's always, like, I'll say, River, you need to go to bed. It's 8:30. And Val's like, oh, can't you just stay up till 9? I'm like, are you undermining me? Like, and then.
Oh, shit. So you guys have never, like, have you ever had a concise, like, not concise, but a conversation around, like, general rules that you have?
General rules? Yeah, general rules are, so for me, when I was growing up, I was never allowed to stay over people's houses. Like, that was kind of, my dad was very weird about me staying at people's houses and stuff. Not until I was older, like a proper teenager, that I was allowed to. So that's kind of Val's, you know, I told Val that before we even had kids. Like, you know, I never had sleepovers. You know, Val was the first boy to sleep in my bed.
Really?
you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. And my dad still had the door open, even though I was engaged and pregnant, like, and he'd still sleep on the couch. So, so that's kind of about like, that would be, that's, you know, Val knows that. So when it comes to like my daughters and my kids having sleepovers, I'm very about it. And he understands that. So that's probably our biggest general rule. Like, you know, we have to be super comfortable with the family to do that. Or if River wants to have a sleepover, I have to stay over as well.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
Bit crazy. I think I was just growing up in a fear where my dad put so much fear in us that we'd get taken.
Oh, my God.
I know. So
you mentioned before about your husband. What's, you know, obviously he runs the dental business. Which I think it sort of looks like his dad started that business, or at least his dad had a dental business and now he works for him.
Yeah. So Val's dad, so they moved from South Africa in the early 80s and he bought he started a practice in the concourse in Beaumaris, and he had that for probably 87 or 85 up until 2008, I think. So he had a cardiac arrest. He's alive though. So Val was working for his dad and he had a cardiac arrest and Val had to revive him. And he was in a coma. And then when he came out of the coma after about 2 weeks or something like that, his dad said, "You need to buy the practice." So Val then bought the practice, and at that point there was only two surgeries going, so it was just like two rooms. Wow. And then Val then bought about three doors down the road a block of land, a shopfront I should say, and then he built BC Dental and has turned it into what it is. So Val's had the practice for about maybe 13 years.
So
it's been a business for nearly like 35 years.
Yeah, it's a huge dental business. Again, growing up in the Bayside area, although we're in East Melbourne now, every time you drive down to Bowie, you see it there.
It stands out. Marble building. It looks like a big tooth. I call it the Taj Mahal. Because the whole facade's like all marble. So I'm like, oh, it's the Taj Mahal.
Jesus.
Val's worked very hard. And we just opened up another three rooms on Monday. Yeah.
Well, that was one thing I noticed on the website is just it is a large, like, you know, you've got multiple dentists, cleaners, et cetera. I guess I'm curious from your perspective, what have you learned from him about business? At least I know it's harder to translate to content, but there must have been some things along the way that he's taught you.
I think for Val, obviously when Val and I got together, I was only 19 and, you know, he had a practice and he was working hard. So it made me go like, you know, I would have been at 19 going, yeah, I'm happy to be a mum, happy to be married and just, you know, live life like that. But I think what I've learned a lot from Val is working hard and nothing comes for free and, you know, having that drive. So Val has definitely taught me how to be a better person. And even like if I want something, you know, I've got to work for it. It's not just given to me kind of thing. Mm. So Val's definitely taught me a lot of, you know, I'd say he's taught me how to, you know, work for things and want to be better because he works so hard and, you know, I see that and I want my kids to see that. So that's definitely one of the biggest things that I've learned from Val is, you know, he always says, don't just exist in this life.
Yeah.
You don't want to just be a person that just wants to exist. Like you want to either help someone or leave a mark or leave some sort of trace when you leave this world. Like don't just be a person that exists
and consumes stuff. That's the thing I said to my partner is like, even if you have a business that isn't some multi-billion dollar business or a multi-million dollar business, having something is better than nothing, because otherise, like, what do you do? You just sort of get up,
go
to work.
Groundhog day. Yeah, and I've got friends that are like that. And I do look at them and I'm going, oh, wow, like, I would love to just kind of exist. It'd be a lot easier.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's one of the biggest things. Like when Val and I got together, he said to me, he's like, do you just want to exist in this world, or do you want to leave some sort of, you know, mark on someone, or some sort of, you know, something there for somebody else, you know, if that's changed somebody else's life, or, you know, you just don't exist, because that's boring. So yeah. I think that's a very big, and that's when I was like, you know what, I'm not going to exist in this world. You know, if that's helping somebody else, or, you know, having a business or something, you only live once. Yeah. YOLO. YOLO.
You mentioned before about keeping the romance going, particularly during lockdown, but I can imagine that's one of the things that people think about when they have kids. Obviously, it gets really mm-hmm. hard. I've read a really interesting book recently called, Come As You Are, and it's by a sexologist, and it's about topics like this. It actually is more to do with libido in relationships. But they cover this point as well. And her perspective was obviously you've got to make time because of the fact that your time is being sucked by people who are relying on you. You know, like they need your help. And so it's not like this thing is just going to, this magical thing called sex and romance and time together is going to find itself. You've got to sort of make time to do it. So do you guys have any principles around that? Like before COVID, were you always like, okay, Friday's date night or once a month, or how did you sort of work out?
I think for us, like, you know, obviously marriage and having children, there are so many ups and downs. Like Val and my marriage, you know, it's definitely not perfect. Like we've had, you know, we've been in situations where we looked at each other and going, oh, we're not going to last. Like this is, you know, where this is just too hard. And, you know, it has, you know, we've worked really hard at it. And I think for Val and I, we started about 3 years ago, or no, 4 years ago. So on our wedding anniversary, we go see a marriage counsellor.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so it's just for fine tuning. Mm. So, you know, all those things that we've had in the year that we've, you know, not been able to communicate properly because we've had different views about it, we will, on our wedding anniversary every year, we go see a marriage counsellor, and then we kind of lay it all out, and then it's almost like having, you know, someone there to kind of help guide us. So that's, you know,
like
after
being
together. yeah, it literally is. Like, yeah, it's a long session. But yeah, so yeah, I think that was something that's really has made us work, having that person that, you know, that person, that middle person kind of, you know, kind of giving us advice and stuff. So that's been really important for us the last, you know, 4 years we've been doing that. I have to say, like, lockdown has brought Val and I closer than ever together. And, you know, and Val's very, he's very romantic, you know, he loves to do things. He loves to, you know, go out on dates and go to, you know, go do cool things around Melbourne. So yeah, we did have a thing like once a week we would go on a date together, but it just never happened because, you know, one of the kids would fall sick or, you know, I was working late, all that sort of stuff. So it's really, really hard. But I think for us, it's just lots of sex.
Yeah.
I think for us, as I said, like we've been, you know, every marriage has its ups and downs, especially when you have kids, because, you know, you all day you have to give love emotionally and physically to your children. So by the time your husband gets home, he's like, hey, babe, you're like, oh, really? Like, I'm loved out. Like, I've got nothing for you. Like, you know, here's the toilet roll, have fun, you know, or here's a sock. Like, so, but I think for us, it's just communication is really important. Val loves to communicate. So I'm more of the guy, like in terms of like, I don't know how to communicate properly. He loves to talk. So
yeah,
I think that's been a real big bonus in our relationship. Obviously being open to going to see a marriage counsellor, because a lot of men, you know, don't like to talk about their feelings.
Yeah. I think that's a really fucking good idea.
It's such a good idea. And it was really funny because I never talked about it on my Instagram, and I did last year. And I was in I was in Chadston coming out of Kmart, and this guy came running out. I had a massive poo explosion. Jager had shut through everything, and I was in Kmart, and I was like, I had to buy a massive thing of toilet, you know, I mean, not toilet, diapers, because you can't get just like one individual nappy. So I'm like in this poo explosion moment, like just so anxious and just like frustrated because Jager just shut through everything, had to buy new clothes and everything. And I was walking out of Kmart, and this guy, he would have been probably our age, and he comes running over to me. He's like, Jess, Jess, Jess. And I was like, oh my God, oh, hi, hi. And he stopped to chat to me. He goes, you saying on Instagram that you and your husband go see a marriage counsellor, can I just tell you it saved our marriage?
Really?
And yeah, and I remember thinking, oh my God, like I was nearly in tears because this guy goes, you know, my marriage was nearly over and my wife showed me your Instagram story on you saying that you and your husband go do marriage counselling and, you know, once a year, da-da-da, for fine tuning. And I was not open to that. But then when I saw that your husband did it, it made me go to a marriage counsellor. So I just want to thank you so much for saving our marriage. And I remember going, and I'll never forget that, you know, if I've just saved one person's marriage because I've been open about mine, you know.
You've left that mark.
I've left that mark. I can die now. So, yeah.
I think it's a really fucking good idea. Like I've had I probably developed anxiety like 5 years ago. I never really worked through it. And suddenly in the last 18 months, I did the whole counseling thing.
Yeah.
Right. Because I'm an A-type individual, and it's definitely saying the runs in my family. I eventually went on like a low dose medication, and I see a psych like once a quarter just to sort of check in. But I really like that. Like I find that the two of us are pretty good at communicating because I have a general principle that if we're arguing, I like to sort of stop it then and there and come back in 15 minutes and see whether it's really worth arguing, because your brain is normally like processed it and realized that actually
it's
you're fucking arguing over whether this bottle should be screwed in just a little bit tighter. And that's not the underlying issue. I think that'd be good. I really like that idea.
Yeah. And I think my advice is with that as well. When you go see a new marriage counsellor, and if it's on your wedding anniversary, they don't know you. So, you know, it's just that marriage counselling would be about, you know, getting to know you. So you don't really lay out what's actually, you know, you don't really get to that point there. So my best advice is that go see a marriage counsellor before your wedding anniversary so that marriage counsellor kind of knows who you guys are. And then
get the groundwork.
Get the groundwork. So know, you know, your personality, your wife's personality, and then, you know, just go see them once a year, and that's on your wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
You know, and like it's fine tuning, and it's, yeah, it's awesome. And that has definitely like saved our marriage, and that's why we've been together for 11 years.
We should, Laura and I should definitely do that in the lead up to the wedding, just for fun. I find it'd be fun. Be reinventing.
My husband's a celebrant as well.
Really? Yeah, we usually, this is how ridiculous it is. We've got everything booked in. We don't have to have to do anything else. I don't know if you know.
You're 17 days away. Yeah, you should have everything booked in.
No, but like for months, we were actually kind of stoked that we didn't have to do it in October because we were like, sick. Now we can buy like a new couch.
Yes.
We can get this sorted, like all these things that we've been, because we had this one hand-me-down piece of furniture that we still had, and it was a couch. It was this terrible, terrible couch.
Yeah.
I'm realizing I'm taking a lot of your time, and I want to get into sort of fire questions to finish off. But before that, I've got to ask.
I'm free to 2021.
Pardon?
I'm free to 2021.
COVID. You know, we've been in lockdown. I don't like people see these polls, but I think a majority of people who, if you actually asked every person in Victoria, is well and truly done with this lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've been tested enough mentally and physically.
Oh, we have.
I know the intensity of raising kids during this would be more so, because how do you explain to them why they can't go on the playground?
Mm-hmm.
When they just want to go on the swing, they just want to do this or that. So What are you looking forward to the most in the next 6 months?
Going to Noosa to see my dad. Mm. That's a huge thing. And going to see my family in Torquay. So my grandfather at the start of the year, he was in a coma. He had pneumonia.
Wow.
And he was in a coma for 4 days and they said he wasn't going to make it. And I haven't been able to, I haven't seen him since January. So, because he's very vulnerable. And obviously being in that coma for 4 months, he's a completely different person now.
Mm.
Like it's aged him so much and physically and mentally. So I think when we get out of lockdown, that's the first thing is Torquay to see my grandparents and Noosa to see my dad. That is like, that's the first thing family. I want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, family.
I think we said the first thing we want to do is see family as well. I want to be able to see my parents in person, and because mm-hmm. Lauren's parents are down on the peninsula, we just want to be able to go down for a weekend. And then yeah. the next thing we want to do is just get the fuck out of Melbourne.
Oh my God.
We've got like these jets. We were meant to go to a wedding in Bali in May. And so we've got all these credits that we have to use with Qantas and Jetstar. And we're just any excuse. I'm just sick of Melbourne. I'm sick of walking around the block.
So sick. I'm overdoing Bratton. I've done all the Bratton.
Every single person has mentioned the real Karen from Bratton. She's created an Instagram profile.
I follow her.
Yeah, she's fucking hilarious. I think she's in so hindsight funny. Now, actually, she's actually like was being sarcastic. I don't think it really dawned on people. Like she's made songs on this profile. She's fucking funny, man.
She's so funny. She's, I remember when she first did it and it was on the news and people were like, oh, she's probably not even from Brighton or, you know, all this sort of stuff. And she comes from a very, very, very well-off family.
She's a Grollo. But the Grollos weren't, to be fair, the Grollos, like my family were part of that sort of, they were part of what you call them the concrete mafia.
Yeah.
And it's just all the wogs that got into sort of like building, like they had like stone masonry or cement or tiles or something farm. Like that, or a pig farm. And for the Grollos, it was cement. They used to always come into the Press Club restaurant when I used to work there eons ago, maybe a decade ago. The future, what are you hoping for 2021? What do you want to, I know it's working out with Prue what this brand Jessica Brittany looks like, acting.
Mm-hmm. I think acting or hosting
mm-hmm.
is where I want to go. Well, not even where, it's definitely where I want to go. So it's now just working on that.
What do you daydream about? Like, are you thinking about hosting on Postcards? Like, let's put it out there.
Getaway.
Getaway.
I would, because I love traveling. Yeah. Getaway would be awesome. That would be like my dream job, being a host on Getaway, just traveling the world. And, that would definitely be my dream job, would be Getaway.
We had Jules Lund on last week, and I think he said
did you?
Yeah, if he could do... He said he's past doing TV and
he wants to become a mummy blogger.
Yeah,
we can swap.
Yeah, he can do a swap. But he did say that if he got the call back, he would do something for Getaway. But he said it would have to be like a once off because the issue he found with Getaway is that he was just away from the kids a lot.
So much. Yeah. That's the one thing I would be hesitant about it. Is being away from the kids. I'd love to be on Bold and the Beautiful. That's another thing.
Should just start your own YouTube channel. Just bring a videographer everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Getaway would be an awesome job. But yeah, being away from the kids would be so hard. I'd have to homeschool them.
Yeah, homeschooling. They can come with me.
No, I've been doing it. It's not fun.
I could ask you some rapid fire questions to finish off.
Mm-hmm.
What is the morning and evening routine currently look like?
Okay, so morning, kids are awake about 8 o'clock, between 8 and 9, so they make their own breakfast. I roll out of bed about 9:30,
okay.
Have about 3 coffees, then clean.
Yeah.
and homeschool.
Okay.
And then nighttime routine is probably about 4 o'clock. I pour a glass of wine. Finish the bottle by five. Yeah. No. Pour a glass of wine at four, start cooking dinner, bath time, dinner fed, kids in bed, watching Yellowstone.
Yellowstone. Okay. That's the thing that you've been watching lately. Do you rate it?
Yeah. Oh my God. I have to watch. It's about cowboys.
Okay.
But like in cowboys in society of today, like the modern cowboy. It is a great show. I finished it actually last night, the last episode of the season. It's not coming out till June next year. And the cliffhanger on season three is the biggest cliffhanger I've ever seen in my life. Like, I'm not going to cope. For another 6 months.
We just finished Succession on binge, and we were watching something else on Stan, but now I hate it when you cancel like a subscription. You have to it sounds so first world problemly, but there's too many fucking there's too many subscriptions you got going on, and I know that there's Billions and Yellowstone that people keep talking about.
So good. That's on Stan.
Stan, yeah.
Yeah, and another one that I've just started last night is Boys.
Okay.
So that's another one. I don't even know what it's on.
What's it about?
It's about superheroes, which is not my thing.
Yeah. I think I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's newer, right?
Yeah, it's newer, yeah. So I think it's just come out. So I'm watching that at the moment.
If you could recommend a doco or movie that you've watched during this entire lockdown period to the audience, what would it be and why?
Doco. Oh, I started watching Paris Hilton. Okay. I lasted 15 minutes. I was like, nah, can't do it. Keep up the Kardashians.
Yeah.
A doco. Have I watched a doco? Everyone's talking about this octopus doco that's meant to be really good. I have to watch this.
Yes.
Have you heard of it?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Did you watch Tiger King or anything like that?
I was about to say Tiger King. I did watch that.
Yeah.
But I think the whole world's seen that now.
Yeah, I think everyone's seen it by now. Yeah. It's weird this year because there's not many God, this is such a weird, like the synopsis for this octopus thing, My Octopus Teacher, I know the one, it's on Netflix. It's about diver swims with an octopus that lives in a kelp forest off the coast of South Africa.
I'm going to have to watch it. Yeah. Apparently it's really kid friendly as well. I'm trying to think what else is there. I love watching anything with David Attenborough. I love watching Animal Planet, all those things. And the kids love it as well. And when it comes to the mating stuff, I skip that those ones. But the kids love watching that sort of stuff. So
there's a recent one that I'm just trying to, it's on Netflix. It's called The Magical Land of Oz. It's about Australia. And it's voiced over by Barry Humphries. And just from an ASMR point of view, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Just listening to his voice, yeah.
Oh, I have to watch that. And the other thing you know what I love? I love anything with Pablo Escobar.
Okay.
All those documentaries, there's heaps of them. They're really cool. I've watched a lot of them over the last 12 months.
Narcos and all that as well.
Yeah, Narcos, all that sort of stuff. I do love it. But you know what I've actually been watching a lot of?
What?
It's so embarrassing. Flip and Flop, all house renovations. I don't like watching The Block, but Flip or Flop, the Scott Brothers, Property Brothers. I could watch them for days.
Yeah, Lauren's family is both British and let's call it German Polish, right? And they watch a lot of BBC stuff. So for years, Grand Designs and all those British flipping type shows.
Oh yeah, Location.
Yeah,
that's me.
Escape to the Country.
Yep. That's
Escape to the Seaside. And then when they bring it out here, it's always it's just never the same.
Never the same.
Jess, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Where can people find you on the interwebs?
Okay, so Instagram, it's Jessie Brittany, even though I'm Jessica Roberts. But yeah, Jessie Brittany _. And on TikTok, I don't even know what I am on TikTok. Jessie Brittany, I think. Again. Yeah, I don't even know. I keep changing my name. I change my name all the time. So I think it's Jessie Brittany. Yeah, Jessie Brittany. So they're the same on Instagram and TikTok. And Stepford Wives or Lockdown Wives on podcast.
Yes. We'll make sure we link all of that. If you're a mum and you want a bit of escapism, or if you're anyone who is a parent and wants a bit of escapism, take a listen. The podcast is good. I rate the podcast. There's some, again, that teaching your kids about sex was one of the two episodes I listened to. It's very funny.
It is. it's interesting. I said I got it all wrong. I told my kids that a stork put a seed in a mum's tummy and then she grew a baby. So don't tell your kids that one.
Better than telling your kids that, like, or kids who have an idea of, like, it ripping through the stomach. Yeah. This is why you've got to tell them, because otherwise they have, like, alien-style images in their head.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Jess, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. I'll speak to you soon, I'm sure.
Thanks for listening in to this episode. If you like it, do leave us a written review on your podcast app, as it helps us continue going on a weekly basis, and we do love reading those reviews as well. If you want the show notes, you can find that below, or with our previous guest at neural.com/podcast. That's neural.com/podcast. To watch the full video, search Uncommon Show on YouTube, and to keep up to date with behind the scenes and clips for the show, you can find us at uncommon_show on Instagram. But until next time, guys, thank you so much for listening.